I'm not surprised, because human nature is such that when we always have something, we tend not to appreciate. That's just human genetics, the human nature. You know, we always have to tell ourselves to appreciate, to appreciate. What does that mean? That means we naturally don't appreciate something we always have. And this country is blessed, America is blessed by God to be the best country on this planet. If anyone doubts, they ask me why, Dr. Wang, you think America is the best country. I just say, look at the immigration problem we have. We have an immigration problem that everybody wants to come to live here. We don't have an immigration problem that starts with E.
Right.
That everybody wants to leave.
Right.
Because America provides every what a human being wants. Peace, security, love, and fairness.
It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
America seems to be inching its way towards socialism. In this past election, 2018, there were 40 socialist candidates that won at different levels of government. Two were elected to Congress, and the one we hear the most about is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is the youngest member of Congress. And anyone who studied socialism or communism know that it has a utopian vision of making everyone equal, and solving the world's problems. But for people who have lived in communist nations, they can tell you from firsthand experience that socialism and communism always fail. They have failed everywhere they have been tried as governmental systems. And as we watch the United States move in that direction, it's important for us to hear the voices of people who have escaped communist nations and those that are socialists. Joining me today is Dr. Ming Wang, a graduate of Harvard and MIT. He has a PhD in laser physics. He is a director of the internationally known Wang Vision 3D Cataract and LASIK Center in Nashville, Tennessee. And he's also an author and will soon be featured in a movie. Dr. Wang has a story that I want him to share with us today. So, Dr. Wang, welcome to the Be the People show.
Thank you, Carol.
Dr. Wang, we have talked about this before, and I've heard your story. But for our listeners, could you briefly tell us about where you were born and the circumstances that you faced as a young child?
Thank you, Carol. I think this is such an important topic, especially for the youth, young people in America today. You know, every day I spend my time taking care of patients' eyes, vision. You know who appreciates sight the most? Those who used to be blind.
Yes.
So I really feel that people who really appreciate freedom the most are those who used to not have freedom. So my perspective and my experience is like someone who used to be blind to tell sighted folks today how precious sight is. I'm someone who used to not have freedom and come to share with everyone today, people who have freedom in America, how precious freedom is. You know, I was born in China during the tumultuous time called Cultural Revolution, where the communist dictator decided the best way to keep on dictating is to keep people ignorant. The best way to keep people ignorant is to actually shut down all universities and colleges of entire nation for 10 years from 1966 to 1976 and forcefully deported every single high school graduate to the poorest part of the country and condemn each one of us a life sentence of hard labor and poverty.
But Dr. Wang, how could one person have done that?
Because it's a dictatorship, because it's a communist that ruled by one man. And there was no fairness of system, there's no democracy. And it's that dictatorship, that system enables someone to become so powerful, extraordinarily powerful, can ignore the rights of his people and to force a dictatorship policy like that. And it's crazy. You're right, it's crazy. We couldn't even fathom here in the West. How could a country as big as China, all the universities and colleges got shut down, and all the young people, 20 million of us, 20 million, over 10 years of Cultural Revolution, 1966 to 1976, were the future of the 20 million people were destroyed because all of us were sent down to the poorest part of the country and condemned a lifetime of poverty and hard labor.
Did the dictator shut down the colleges and universities because they were agitating for people's rights, or do you know the circumstances that they were targeted?
Yes, because it became apparent to the communist dictators in the mid-1960s, 1965, 1966, that people who have knowledge, people who had information from, you know, around the rest of the world, was a threat to communist dictator, to the socialism, to the communism. So the way to keep on dictating is to keep people ignorant. And the way to keep people ignorant is to destroy people with knowledge, information, and education.
Now, I know you got out, and you have a sibling, right?
Yes, I have a younger brother who was 8 years younger. So 1974, I was 14. I finished my ninth grade. I was a straight-A student, and Mom and Dad always taught me to study hard, But that made no difference. Despite being a straight-A student, after I finished ninth grade, I got kicked out of school, and I was never allowed to go back. Together with 20 million others, I was going to be deported to labor camp for life. And to fight against that, I had to play a music instrument, learning how to dance, etc., because it turns out if you can play an instrument or if you can dance, you might be able to get into what he called communist song and dance propaganda troupe. If you could do that, you might be able to be exempted from being sent away to labor camp, being allowed to stay in the cities, because communist government still needed musicians and dancers in the cities. So I was playing the instrument, I was learning dancing, trying to avoid labor camp, being deported. But then government discovered I was playing the instrument, learning dancing with an ulterior motive, really not for music or dance per se, but to avoid government policy of deportation. So they stopped it.
Let me ask you
music
this.
Music and dance practice.
Were other, how many other young people like you got into the entertainment, the dancing, and musical instruments as a way to avoid deportation?
Tens of thousands throughout China. Throughout the 10-year Cultural Revolution, Cultural Holocaust from 1966 to 1976, 20 million young people's lives were destroyed. And a big portion of those young people, we all try similar things. We try to play music, learning arts, trying to get into communist song and dance propaganda troupe to avoid being deported to the poorest part of the country and being condemned to a lifetime of poverty and hard labor. It is this notorious Cultural Revolution.
Now, I know that at that time you were not a Christian, but I would say God's hand was always upon you because you were one of the ones that were selected, right, for the program.
Yes, eventually I got, I met a visiting American professor who lent me $50. And so 1982, with that $50, with a Chinese-English dictionary, I was dropped at the National Airport, Washington, D.C., with nearly nothing, but with a big American dream. I did not know anyone. I could not speak English, but I had a big American dream in my heart.
And how was it that you ended up at Harvard?
Well, I first studied laser physics and a PhD degree, finished at University of Maryland, and finished postdoc training at MIT. Then I decided I wanted to be a laser eye surgeon. And I figured that since I have a doctorate degree in laser physics now, if I got my second doctorate degree, this time in medicine, and I could be a unique laser eye surgeon. So that's why I just went across Charles River and went to Harvard Medical School, got my medical doctorate degree this time, second doctorate degree in medicine. Since then, I have been very fortunate to have the education training. You know, I tell all the kids today in this country that human nature is that when you always say something, we tend not to appreciate it. Kids in this country were all born with freedom. And many of them don't realize how precious it is. They don't realize this dangerous road towards socialism, the slippery road, is a dead end. It's going to cause more entitlement, and it will erase individual responsibility, and ultimately it will take the freedom away that Americans come to enjoy and taking for granted.
Now, are you surprised at the move towards socialism in America that you would have 40 socialist candidates elected in 2018?
I'm not surprised, because human nature is such that when we always have something, we tend not to appreciate it. That's just human genetics, the human nature. You know, we always have to tell ourselves to appreciate. To appreciate, what does that mean? That means we naturally don't appreciate something we always have. And this country is blessed, America is blessed by God to be the best country on this planet. If anyone doubt, they ask me why, Dr. Wang, you think America is the best country. I just say, look at the immigration problem we have. We have an immigration problem that everybody wants to come to live here. We don't have an immigration problem that starts with E,
right,
that everybody wants to leave.
Right.
Because America provides what a human being wants: peace, security, love, and fairness, and freedom and liberty. But that comes with a price. Our founding fathers, America, and our soldiers putting their lives in the war front there to have created such a precious freedom in this country. And so young people, especially growing up in this country, we always have freedom, you know, that tend to forget it. They look at the socialistic program that is being advocated by some candidates, and they think, oh, you know, might as well enjoy that. Everybody should be given by whatever they need. Don't need to work hard. Don't have the individual responsibility. Don't have to continue to be motivated to stand up, to defend the freedom that our forefather has worked so hard, laid their lives down to have created. So I'm not surprised, because it's human nature. When we always have something, we tend to slip into a slippery road of taking for granted.
Well, we're going to take a break, and when I return, we can talk more about this.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Are you wondering what we can do about immigration? Then get your copy of my newly released book, Debating Immigration, the second edition, available at Amazon, Cambridge University Press, and all major booksellers. Dr. Wang, you were in the movie God's Not Dead. Could you say a little bit about why part of your story made its way in there?
The book God's Not Dead was initially written by Dr. Rice Brooks, my pastor, and part of my story that coming from, you know, communist China, I came to this country for freedom, being an atheist, have eventually found God, Christ in this country, was in the original book, God's Not Dead. Then later the movie was turned into, you know, the book was turned into a movie, and so they found a character to play my part. So I have little role, my character, so to speak, has little role in that movie, God's Not Dead, which surprised everyone that with his box office success, which shows that the question about God's existence, the power, the relevance of God in our modern society is still very much on the mind of many people. And as you mentioned earlier, that my autobiography, From Darkness to Sight, is now being turned into a major feature film motion picture as well. The screenplay for my autobiography, From Darkness to Sight, have just been completed. So it's been turned into a major motion picture. And I really hope a movie like that and a book like that will help re-educate and remind especially young people in America today that what defines America is the freedom and the choice. And it's about individual responsibility, it's about smaller government, it's about the check and balance, it's about the system. That socialism, which is the opposite, it's about dictatorship, it's about government have way too much power, they're dictating the life of individuals, such as what the communist dictators have done during Cultural Revolution in China. That is a dead end. Don't go there.
What would you say to a young person or an older person who might be an atheist or a secular humanist or one of the whatever they are about what led you to your Christian faith?
In my particular case, I came to Christian faith later in life after I came to this country, just like the character in the movie God's Not Dead. I finally, you know, came to this country, got a chance to study science. I was not allowed about to let anything else distract me. But it was interesting. It was in the study of science, and in particular studying of human eyes, because I wanted to be an eye doctor, laser eye surgeon. And I realized that the complexity of human eye is so significant, so astronomical, that if the eye is formed completely by random collisions, events, as an atheist would believe how the world is formed, it would have taken much, much, much longer to form a complicated structure as human eye. So obviously there was something major missing, that science is important, but there's something about, you know, that perhaps a complicated structure as human eye, it has some purpose in it, how it's formed. It's a design rather than the random events that, you know, just came together. I met a professor who saw I was in crisis, you know, this gung-ho atheist student who was in crisis. So he took me out for lunch, and he said, "Ming, what's across the street?" I said, "That's a car." He said, "What's the difference between a human brain and a car?" I said, "A human brain is a lot more complicated." And he said, "Okay, can you believe a power of a random piece of metals can assemble itself into a car?" I said, "No way." And he said, "How about human brain?" So right then, he opened a window in my life to Christ. And I came to realize that life is not just about science and technology. Life is also about Christian faith. That science tells you what things are, and then faith tells you why things are. Science gives us the foundation that we can provide good care to our patients and take good care of them with, you know, laser eye surgery, all these technologies to improve their eyesight. But faith then is Christ that gave me a purpose of why I study all the science for. In my particular case, I realized that as an immigrant, that God's calling to me is to pay back. You know, I've chosen to live in this country, America. I have benefited from the freedom, and I have an obligation to pay back. And my form of payback is to form a foundation to help those indigent patients who could not afford the care and provide the care free of charge.
Another thing I'd like to ask you about is America's abortion laws. You know, there's a lot of controversy about the New York abortion law, which is one of the most liberal in the world, you know, more akin to China or North Korea than anything else we've experienced in the Western world. What are your thoughts about that?
I think at the moment of inception, conception, that a life is formed. And the life is sacred. And we need to adhere to that. That's the teaching of the Bible. That's the the reality of the nature. We need to know that that moment of conception, life is formed. We need to do everything to protect that. I do understand that, you know, in country like China or North Korea, the abortion was very liberal, and part of that is because of the atheist belief.
Yes.
And the part is that because there's a lack, the lack of God's teaching, the Bible, the instruction about the sacredness of life itself. And so that precisely speaks to the need for the words of Christ to go to a country like China. If you go to China today, you know, what's the number one problem? It's corruption. When you have rising economic development, prosperity, in the face of a vacuum of moral standard, then what's the result? It's corruption. So that's why we have our China Bible Project, for example. We bring Bible to China, get from recipient their email addresses, and then we can pen pal, fellowship, nurture those budding Christians who have received our Bibles. I truly believe that bring Bible to China and encourage more Chinese to learn the words of Christ, the scripture, will help China develop new, higher moral standard behavior, and that will curtail and reduce corruption and improve the country.
Well, have you, I know you visit China on a fairly regular basis. What have been the changes when it comes to the one-child policy? I understand that it has been relaxed a little bit.
Yes, it was at the time enacted about 20 years ago was out of a sheer necessity because our population was exploding and the country was getting poorer and poorer with more and more population. And however, one-child policy has its inhuman side, that you basically eliminated brother and sisters and uncle and nephew and niece. You know, that's a big part of human life itself.
Yes.
And I'm glad the government has laxed a little bit and allowed two children. And I think it's important that, you know, the family needs to be developed. The kids need to grow up normally with siblings, and because that's a big part of component of one's development. And I'm glad that China has laxed their policy, you know, relaxed a little bit, so allow people to have more than one kid. And part of that is due to the tremendous explosive development of economic development and prosperity that made that possible.
And what is happening in China when it, with regards to religious liberty?
Unfortunately, it's going backward now, because China is still a dictatorship country today. In fact, China had just erased the constitution that calls for term limit. So the number one power in the country, in China now, has unlimited terms now. It's a going back in time. One would hope that 50 years after the Cultural Revolution, we would have made some progress towards freedom, liberty, and democracy. But unfortunately, that has not been the case. Regarding religious freedom, there's less religious freedom than before, because government look at Christian faith as a threat to its authoritarian government. And however, we've been fighting. We have our Christian brothers and sisters and Christian organizations there. We show to the government and people that we as Christians, we do good deeds. We go to hospitals, visiting, helping the sick, and we help charity work in our society. So we're hoping that through our good action, through love, that we can convince more and more Chinese people that believing God is good to society, is good to each of us as human beings.
Thank you. And Dr. Wang, in the few minutes we have left, what would you like to tell our listeners about what you're doing as far as your involvement in the community, and then what you think Americans should be focused on?
I really probably want to mention mainly one thing, because with respect to China, America economically, obviously with the the tariff wars and all the trade wars, is a significant issue. Chinese has been very successful in selling to America the product, and we have not been as successful in selling product to China.
Yes.
And I think the key part to turn that around is that, you know, what's the number one priority? What's the number one priority for a company to sell a product is to understand the customers. You know, Chinese have done a wonderful job in understanding us. You know, when I travel to China almost every year, that I see lots of people learning English. Why they're studying English? It's because they want to learn about America. They want to sell Chinese product to America. Okay, the number of people in China who speak basic level of English has surpassed the entire United States population. You know, and in contrast, how many of us over here, Americans who can speak decent level of Mandarin, Chinese? Not very many. So that is our problem, that in this competitive world, in order to sell what we have to offer to a country like China, we have to first and foremost understand our customers. That means we need to understand the Chinese culture, history, and people. That's the first step for us to be able to sell more effectively product to China for the things that they need. And also, we need to get a job back on the soil, American soil, because we're losing too much jobs, such as to a country like China. And there are two ways doing it. One is sell more product to China, which is difficult because the labor cost difference is still significant between these two countries. And there's a second way, which I've been involved in the last few years, is that Chinese have many companies that are doing very well economically because the trade surplus against the United States and $400 billion strong annually. So many companies want to invest in America. So, for example, I have been helping a Chinese eye hospital group to develop eye hospital system in China, and I've been successfully convinced them to expand operation and invest in America.
Yes.
So that expansion process, the building eye clinics and serving Americans, they're all with Chinese money brought up here to here, and to create American jobs, because 100% of the workforce will be hiring with these new eye clinics built here with Chinese money, all will be Americans. So this is another way of getting job back to American soil, by taking advantage of Chinese money investment, bring them over here and create enterprises that are hiring Americans. Just like, you know, Nissan or Toyota, you know, move factories
right
here, they're hiring Americans, same. So as an immigrant, I cannot think better thing to do. That is something that help both nations, okay, help American China, but most importantly, that get investment from China to America and to create American jobs. And
that is great.
Is what keep America strong.
That is great. And I really appreciate everything that you do in the community. I know what you do in the state of Tennessee, but I've realized that your reach is worldwide. And so
thank you.
I wish you well. And tell our listeners how they can find you as far as social media.
Okay, well, I have a practice in Nashville, Tennessee. It's called Wang Vision 3D Cataract and LASIK Center. And our website is www.wangvisioninstitute.com. And our phone number is 615-321-8881. And you can Google Dr. Ming Wang, MINGWANG, anytime. We have a foundation to help indigent population, patients who could not afford the care. And regarding this U.S.-China collaboration, the joint healthcare project that brings in Chinese investment to America to create American jobs here, that I would be delighted to share that information that to anyone who's interested. I think it's a great project that will benefit both countries, particularly America, basically in essence, to get the jobs back from China back to America.
Thank you so much, Dr. Wang, and we wish you well. And
thank you.
For the rest of us, we have heard firsthand about what it's like to live in a communist country. We, the people of America, were not meant to live under socialism and communism, and it's up to us to be the people who will claim America and for ourselves and for our world. So we must be the people who take back our nation.
There are speakers, and then there are great speakers who know the importance of creating that memorable moment. Well, the key to any successful event is an informative and inspirational speaker. Professor Dr. Carol Swain is that gifted speaker. She delivers passionately from the heart every time. To find out more about booking Carol for your next great event, simply go to carolmswain.com. Click on Public Speaking, and then click the blue Book Carol tab.